Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. A 21-year tradition returns to Southwest Florida this weekend with the 2017 Mango Mania Festival happening in Cape Coral. It's brought mango growers, preservers, chefs working with the fruit and more to the area to revel in mangoes and other tropical fruit. The event is organized by the Greater Pine Island Chamber of Commerce, and this year it promises food and recipe contests, mango-themed games, and vendors sharing their arts, crafts, and edibles, even trees. The event also has educational sessions aimed at informing the public about tropical plants. Joining us to talk about the festival this year is Mango Mania Queen Jessica Potts. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you so much.
Also joining us today is author Jen Koretnik. She is the dining critic for Miami Magazine and author of the 2014 book Mango. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We are talking about mangoes and Mango Mania. Do you have a question for the queen or the author of the book called simply Mango? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. You can also visit WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. First, author Jen Koretnik, let's start with a basic question. Mangoes are native to Southeast Asia, but many people think of that as synonymous with our subtropical weather here in Southwest Florida. How did mangoes colonize our shores and become so popular?
Well, they were really an experiment. You know, people tried to plant them and grow them, and finally they started to take. And once they started to take, they began to be grafted. And grafted is really the way to grow mangoes now. Where I live used to be a mango plantation, and I don't know if I'm fortunate enough or stupid enough to have bought it, but I have 14 mango trees of the original plantation left, and every year it sort of looks like, at this point of the summer, like a mango junkyard out there because there are so many mangoes. But we have mangoes from about 100 years ago.
Wow.
So these mangoes have been around for a really long time, and they used to just really plant them to see what would take. And they did bring them over from Southeast Asia. So we actually have Indian mangoes. We have a Thai mango. We have mangoes that you really don't see anymore. And I know a lot of people think about mangoes as, you know, the Hayden mango, that nice round red mango. But we actually have the East Asian mangoes that really people think of when they go to India or go to Thailand.
And then those little yellow ones have become popular recently, too.
Yes, and those come from the islands, and they've been transported now to Mexico. So they're being imported from Mexico. So it's really interesting to see how mangoes actually travel around the world.
So are you telling me then that if I have a mango pit and I put it in the ground, it's not going to grow into a tree?
It will grow into a tree. Whether it produces fruit is a different story.
Oh, okay.
And if it does produce fruit, then you can name it. It's your own variety.
Oh, I might start trying that.
So there's really no telling how many varieties now are out there. They estimate maybe 2,000, maybe more. If you graft a mango tree, you're going to get the same exact mango that comes from the original tree. If you grow it from a pit, it can revert back to whatever it has in it. It's like genetics of a human.
Yeah, it's like,
you know,
different
you don't
genetic
really know
material.
What you're going to get.
That's
yeah,
so
it
interesting.
Could have blue eyes, it could have green eyes. It could have traits of a Hayden. It could have traits of a Carey. So you don't really know if you get it from a pit, and it may be sterile.
Oh, yeah, you never know.
No fruit at all. Yeah.
Like a mule. Okay, so Jessica Potts, I want to ask Jessica Potts with the Mango Mania Festival, that bringing us to today, we have the Mango Mania Festival out on Pine Island. What brought that on?
It's actually this weekend from Saturday to Sunday, and it's, like you said, it's a tropical fruit fair to celebrate the mango.
So is that area just kind of known for having a lot of mango trees?
Yes, it is. We have a lot on the island. I actually have a mango farm behind my house and on the side of my house. But yes, it's typically known to have a lot of different tropical fruits and mangoes.
Yeah, I've been there a couple years in a row. Every year I go. And the picture on our website is from when I went back in 2008. So I'm definitely a fan. Tell me about your role as the Mango Mania Queen. My daughter is pretty excited. I'm meeting royalty today. What are your royal duties?
I'm representing the Pine Island. And basically, you know, welcoming everybody to our community and showing them what we're all about. We have a lot of games and activities at the event, and that I will be, you know, in charge of with the kids and basically, you know, representing our island to the best and showing what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm. And last time I went there, I think I remember some crazy hats going on and some weird outfits. Are you going to be doing that?
Oh, yes, we're doing that. And then right afterwards will be the Crazy Hat Parade.
Yeah, I remember the Crazy Hat Parade. And this is near the German...
It's at the German Social American Club, yes.
And that's on Pine Island Road?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So that, if anybody wants to get there, you can get there at any time. And I'm going to go back to author Jean Koretnik. When it comes to the varieties of mango, you know, last time I was out at this mango festival, which you might want to come over for if you are not tired of them in your backyard. They talked a lot about
it's
that.
It's a mango festival here.
I have my own mango festival every day in my backyard. They talked a lot about that Kerry mango that you brought up a second ago. Can you tell me a little bit about that mango and why we don't see it in stores?
Well, that mango is kind of delicate. We have a Kerry tree, and it is considered one of the top three varieties. And it's a very early season mango, and a lot of people just love it because it's one of the first mangoes to appear in the season. So, you know, in a regular season, you start seeing that at around May. But it bruises very easily, and that one turns yellow. So that's a yellow mango. If it falls to the ground, it's going to get bruised pretty quickly. And they're hard to see when they get ripe. So you kind of want to pick them, you know, when they're about half yellow. And not make sure they're all yellow. If they're all yellow, they're overripe. So I don't know if you go into the grocery stores on a regular basis and see what mangoes are there, but you're never going to see South Florida or West Coast Florida mangoes in the grocery stores.
They're all
imported? You're going to see imported mangoes. They're all imported. And that has to do with the agriculture system in America. That has nothing to do with local producers. That has to do with how, you know, the USDA set up regulations and how they get our food cheaper from abroad. Yeah. That has nothing to do with our growers.
And then the shipping and distribution centers and all of that.
Yep, and they don't want to ship in anything that weighs more than a pound. So people are picking those mangoes from abroad. They're less than a pound. They're half grown, and they don't ripen properly, and they falsely ripen them. So if you're really into mangoes, you want to go to local producers and buy them from the farm stands. You don't want to get them from the grocery stores because they're not even fully grown.
You know,
you'll see that when you open the pits because the pits are only slivers. They're not really even fully developed.
Yeah, and then
the Kerry is really a wonderful mango.
Yeah, and I've always been looking for a Kerry, but even at farmers markets, I don't see the Kerry because it's probably as elusive as the grouper cheek. You know, when the fisherman steals all it takes.
You have to find a friend with a tree.
That's what I gotta do. That's what I need to come over and visit. So I'll be there next weekend.
They can produce a lot. Kerrys are good producers.
So now, how did you get involved in being on a mango plantation? Did you plan that?
Well, we had these romantic notions, I guess, when we were looking for, this is our first real house. And we had one young child, and I was pregnant with my second. And we had these, you know, real romantic notions that we wanted fruit trees. And I think the real estate agent looked at us and said, suckers. And they showed us this house with all these trees on it. And we said, sure. And we had no idea what amount of work it takes to really farm 14 mango trees. But that's how we got started. You know, it was out of necessity that we learned about mangoes. It's been a great time with them. But you know, starting around May, we sort of look at them and say, oh, it's very exciting to get the first few mangoes. By September, we have early season, mid-season trees, late season trees. We don't want to see another mango.
I can imagine. You know, I think that's kind of how I was in the Midwest when it came to zucchini.
Oh, yes. It's like the zucchini on the porch thing. You know, how many zucchini can you give your neighbors until they don't want to see you anymore?
Yeah, so do you give away a lot of mangoes, I imagine? So Jessica Potts with the mango. It's not just mangoes out there, though, at the Mango Festival. The festival's about other tropical fruits as well. What are some of the other fruits that are out there?
Some ones that I know about are lychee. Those are actually in Pine Island as well.
That's another tree that takes a long time to ripen. Do you have any lychee trees out there, Jen?
We do. In the Homestead and Redland region, there are a lot of lychee groves, and that's a very short season here. It's about 6 weeks, and if you go down and pick them, that's a lot of fun. We tried to grow a lychee tree here, but the mango trees just said, nope, we're not having it.
They strangled
Everything
them out?
Mangoes. Yeah, it kind of killed it.
Oh, really? I wonder if it was an effect on the soil quality or just the shade. It takes a while.
I think the mangoes just take over everything. We do have some other fruit trees. We have some avocado trees that they planted at the same time as the mangoes. We have sapodilla trees. We have some citrus.
Mm-hmm.
But anything we have planted, they haven't really taken. The root systems are really deeply engraved at this point.
We are talking about mangoes ahead of this week's Mango Mania Festival in Cape Coral. What mango wisdom would you like to share or would you like to receive? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We have a call coming in from Valeria in Punta Gorda. What would you like to ask?
Hi, my name is Valerie, and I love mangoes, but they don't love me. I have several neighbors with mango trees, and I have to get suited up when I process them because I break out in a rash any place it touches me. And I wondered how common this mango allergy is.
Okay.
And also, well, when I was a kid, I lived in St. Croix, and I ate tons of little tiny mangoes all the time. And I never had a rash, and yet as I became an adult, I developed this allergy.
Jessica, do you hear a lot
about mangoes? Yes.
Yes.
Mangoes are related to poison ivy. So if you're sensitive to poison ivy, you're going to be sensitive to the sap of the mangoes. So the more mature the mangoes are, the more sap they're going to have on their skin. And, you know, you can grow in and out of allergies. So I'm fortunate enough to not be sensitive, so I can process hundreds and hundreds of mangoes, but I have friends who can't touch one, and they'll break out in blisters.
Jessica, have you also heard this, Jessica, where people cannot touch them, but they can eat them?
Yes. I have actually a few friends that had mango trees in their yard, and they went to go pick them, and it broke out in a rash and hives.
Did it look like poison ivy reaction?
It did. Blisters, and it looked really bad, but they could eat them. So it's actually very common.
It's actually, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get somebody to cut them up for you, it's like having somebody do the main lobster for you. You get to eat it. They have to do all the work.
Speaking of eating it, Jen, your book includes a lot of recipes, and it was kind of hard to get the script written today because my producer and I kept on looking at recipes going, I really want that jalapeno cornbread with mango involved. There are so many that are great.
Yeah.
What are some of your – and you're also a restaurant critic. What are some of the most inventive ways that you've seen mangoes used?
Oh, wow. There's so many ways to use mangoes that you wouldn't even think of. And when I did the research for this book, I pulled all my friends in and all my neighbors and all the chefs I know. And some of the most inventive ways I got were from my Indian friends because they use the mango from the time it appears on the tree to the time that it is almost, you know, falling apart. So I have Indian friends who come over when the mangoes are self-selecting and falling off the trees, and they come over and pick up the tiny little mangoes and make pickles out of them. And then, they give me the pickles, which is the best part because I don't have to do it myself.
Are they good? Do they taste like regular pickles? I mean, different texture, obviously.
They're a different texture, yeah, and they're sweet and tart and spicy, and they're just, you know, everybody has a different recipe, so it's really hard to get their recipes, too, because everyone wants to guard their own. You can make relishes. You can make any kind of sauce. One of the things I love to do with the mangoes is make marinades, ketchups, mustards, mayos. You know, it's really surprising how versatile they are in just about anything you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And my producer,
you can actually even grill them. And, you know, I like to make s'mores out of them. You put them on the grill, smush them between a graham cracker and a piece of dark chocolate and a marshmallow, and you've got a s'more with fruit in it.
Okay, that's really unusual. I would not have thought of that on my own. And my producer wanted me to mention his favorite is mango preparation from Thailand, which is mango with sticky rice. Do you have a recipe for that one in your book?
I have a rice recipe. I don't have that one, but that one's really, really popular. And you know what is also really popular, which is you see on the streets of New York now, is people making mango flowers. They cut the mangoes up right in front of you and then pour hot sauce all over them.
And Jessica, you're saying they do that in Pine Island at the fest?
Yes, they do. And actually, when we did a segment on TV on Wink News the other day, they showed how they cut the mangoes into flowers.
Into a pretty flower.
Yes.
Are there going to be lessons at Mango Mania for people who want to learn how to do that?
Possibly.
And then there are culinary kind of competitions out there. What have you seen out there that kind of blew your mind?
There's actually, I got a pre-sampling of a contest entry, and it was from CW Fudge Factory, and it was white chocolate fudge and spicy jalapeno with mangoes. And it was delicious.
I
thought it's a very different combination, but it was very, very good.
Because you got your fat, you know, from the fudge, and then you have the sweetness, and then you have that spice. I think that would just be pretty incredible. I would look forward to trying that one, too. So that'll be pretty fun. We have a call from Steve coming through in Fort Myers. He has a question for us. Steve, what would you like to ask?
Yes. I know that I have possums eating all my mangoes. They'll just strip the whole tree. Is there anything that I can do to keep possums and possibly raccoons away from my trees?
That's a great question for Jen, I think. Jen, have you ever had a possum infestation in your mango grove?
I've had so many animals. The first time we moved in, we woke up the first night we were here to, like, giant raccoons wrestling over mangoes. And we were thinking, God, there are so many mangoes here that have to wrestle over them. They can't just choose their own. And I've had that question many times, and there's really nothing you can do except, you know, try to get to them before the possums do. But they're going to get their share no matter what you do. I've had people put nets up. I've seen postcards and old mango pictures. When they tried to harvest them, they would put nets up to keep them out. But the animals are going to get in either way.
Yeah.
It's just nature.
It's hard to...
And the other thing I would say is whenever you take a mango from the ground or from a tree, to always wash it. I see people take them and just bite into them and later tell me that they've gotten sick. And how is that possible? And I'm thinking, don't you know that animals climb trees?
Yeah.
And they have their feet on them and, you know, always wash the mangoes.
It doesn't take much to get yourself sick. And I wanted to ask again about skin. I mean, do people eat the skin of certain mangoes and not others?
I've seen people eat right through the skin. I had a woman tell me at a book signing that she deep fries the skin. And that she really likes it that way. And I'm thinking, well, that's the most interesting preparation I've heard yet.
That's another in the column of everything's okay if you deep fry it, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I'll eat deep fried anything, so I'm willing to try it.
And I wanted to ask your advice because I'm pretty sure you've cut through a few mangoes. What is the best way to cut into a mango? Do you want to peel the skin first or cut its cheeks off and then do the crosshatch like we see in recipe books? Is there a good way and a bad way, and does it depend on the mango?
I think it depends on what kind of presentation you're going for. You know, if I'm processing 500 mangoes and making jam, we're just going to peel the skin and smush it right off the pit and throw it in the pot. But if you're processing it for nice presentation, then you want to cut the biggest cheeks, the two biggest cheeks off first, and then the two little cheeks and make that nice crosshatch. That's a really pretty way to do it. Or you can take a potato peeler and peel the skin off, and then you can cut the big cheek off and then slice it and fan it out on a plate. And that's also really pretty.
Yeah, that's what I find that's easier to peel the little yellow ones. But when it comes to the big ones, peeling them doesn't work. I think the cutting the cheeks off and then doing the crosshatch seems to work best for me on that.
Yeah, what really doesn't work are those mango
gadgets.
They sell them. Yeah, those mango gadgets.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, somebody got me one of those.
Of course, they only have one size, and mangoes don't come in one size and one shape.
So many different sizes. How many different kinds of trees do you have right now in your backyard?
We have 8 different varieties.
And so how much do they vary in size?
Oh, very much so. We have mangoes that are as big as footballs and as small as your palm.
Yes. Yeah. So those little, I bet those little palm sized ones are really sweet.
Those are actually our favorite. That's an Irwin, and they're purple, and they have no fiber in them whatsoever. And that's our favorite tree.
Is the flesh purple on the inside?
No, the flesh is kind of like a dark yellow on the inside.
Wow.
And it's slightly tart, so it's not quite as sweet as some of the others.
Yeah. I hope I can find one of those at Mango Mania this weekend out on Pine Island. Well, we're going to have to
leave
it.
That's a really good tree to have.
Oh, it'd be so great. And, you know, they sell the trees out there, too. There are some nurseries out there that sell the trees. So if you're looking to get one of those special kind of mangoes, you're not going to get it in a grocery store. You can get your own and grow your own. All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank our guest, the 2017 Mango Mania Queen, Jessica Potts. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Also, I want to thank author and dining critic Jen Koretnik. Thank you for joining us on the phone.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
We have links to this weekend's Mango Mania Festival on our website, wgcunews.org. Click on Gulf Coast Live to find out more. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.